On the phone this morning, we are honored to have Congressman Dan Muser, 9th Pennsylvania District, Republican. And Dan, it's great to have you here. You're all ready for Christmas?
Hi, Joe. Well, it's my honor to be with you and all of your listeners. And, well, I'm pretty close. my wife kind of has been holding down the Christmas. Now I got my kids home from school, so there's a lot of wrapping taking place. So I got a few more gifts I think I got to go out there and get.
Well, you're on a tight schedule this morning, and your staff has asked me to kind of keep this to about between 15 and 20 minutes, which we're going to do. So we'll launch right into it. There is a pending deal, I guess, for funding for Israel and the Ukraine and possibly with some border concessions. If there is a deal to be made here, Dan, what is it likely to look like from the Republican standpoint?
Yeah. Well, so far, I don't particularly like the deal that I'm hearing. You know, we in the House, the Republicans anyway, of course, no Democrats voted for H.R. 2. It had five important provisions that would correct virtually immediately the disaster, the unmitigated disaster created by the Biden administration at our border. And each one of those provisions in the deal, as far as I understand it, and I understand it pretty well, have been eliminated or watered down. And so we're not going to negotiate on something that is good messaging for, frankly, the Democrats, that has no teeth to it, that won't make a difference. And then we, as well, are busy protecting the Ukrainian border, which is important. We, the American people, want our border protected. It's outrageous what's occurring. Thousands and thousands of deaths of Americans due to drugs. Thousands of deaths, hundreds of deaths at least, of the illegals coming across. The human trafficking taking place. The cost to the American people is north of $400 billion for all of this. And, of course, they hide those costs. So it's bad. And frankly, I don't see how anything's going to change in this administration. This is very deliberate, actually, and we got to vote Biden out. I mean, if we want a border, not even a secure border. We want any type of border, and of course, it would be secure under President Trump. We need a new president, and we need to vote Republican and then some in the coming election, because everything they're doing, and if anyone wants to call in and tell me one thing positive that's coming from this administration. And Schumer's Senate, please do, because I can't put my finger on. So as far as the deal goes, sure, we're open for it. Let's have a let's make our asylum laws enforced. Let's have Remain in Mexico. Let's stop catch and release. Let's build border security, i.e., call it a wall, call it a fence, call it whatever we want, and let's help our Customs and Border Patrol. And for that, yes, I believe we do and can. But there's a lot more to it, Joe, related to the Ukrainian funding, all right? I mean, right now there's not a parity between the U.S., the American people's taxpayer dollars versus the EU, Canada, the U.K., and Australia. We're paying 30-40%, $30-40 billion more than they for in support of the Ukraine, and yet... And we're not. They're not even. And so, why would we do that on similar GDPs? They should reach parity with us. And I've told Anthony Blinken this. I've told Lloyd Austin this, Secretary of Defense, Secretary of State, to their faces a couple of times. The State Department needs to do its job, so the American people aren't the ones funding all of this, and the EU, who's at more at risk because of Putin's war crimes, and he is a war criminal. He needs to be stopped. But the administration's handling it terribly, so that piece of it is very important to me, because it's important to the American people that the EU and other nations need to pay their, you know, the Biden administration loves saying fair share. Let's have the EU nations pay their fair share.
Well, Dan, how long do you think this conflict in Ukraine is likely to go on? I mean, is Congress looking for some kind of a definitive end solution for this problem?
Absolutely. A good friend of mine, Mike Garcia, for instance, put together a plan. He was a naval aviator for what the military, what the type of accountability, what the de-escalation should be. What the goals are of this effort, and even if the goals were held in a classified manner, you know, we'd be able to see them and we'd be able to more intelligently support or not support. This administration does not have such a plan. So that's very disconcerting as well. There is no end game. There is no plan that's shared. It's just more money. We have to keep supporting the Ukraine. All right, that's been going on now for a long time, and the American taxpayers want some answers. I, as their representative, must have some answers. Mike McCaul, the chairman of Foreign Affairs, has also asked for the same thing. He's outlined we need these questions answered, either in a classified or unclassified setting, and they give us nothing other than they, meaning Lloyd Austin and the Biden administration, and Tony Blinken, related to what the actual plan is and how negotiations are going for de-escalating. So you know, they're creating a quagmire, they're creating a mess, and let's face it, I mean, they've created a lot of messes in our economy and throughout the world.
Yeah, there's no shortage of messes. A lot of them coming from the Biden administration. The House has launched a formal impeachment inquiry. It's not an an investigation. What's the right word here?
Impeachment inquiry.
Okay. So you've done that, you know, and of course, a lot of people on the left are saying, oh, this is just payback for the two impeachments of Donald Trump. And then they talk about you've been criticized for talking about the Biden crime family while ignoring the fact that Donald Trump has been, is facing 91 felony charges. One of our listeners said, if you're so concerned about presidential crime, why are you ignoring the well-founded charges against Trump and focusing solely on the thus far, in their opinion, unproven allegations against Biden? Fair question.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but I'm not ignoring anything, okay? The media and our friends on the left are unbelievably good at ignoring. I mean, let's face it, 90% of the media can't say Biden, Hunter Biden and the payoffs and everything else without always adding, but there's no evidence to show any connection or any wrongdoing of President Joe Biden. Total nonsense. I mean, this is as much deceit as when they said prior to the election that Hunter Biden's laptop was Russian disinformation. Remember that one?
Yep.
Remember that Orwellian misspeak that took place? Well, this is the same thing. I mean, when we come down to, because President Trump, let's compare the two. Joe Biden has lied and lied and lied that he knew nothing about his son's business. We have 22 phone calls on recordings. We have dinners at restaurants throughout with the same people that paid off Chinese communist and Moscow business people. He had dinner with, pictures of them. They played golf together. We have eyewitnesses, their business partners said, yeah, Joe called into the business meetings 20 different times. We have emails. We have these phony aliases of Joe Biden. We have the payments. We have over $20 million in payments from the darkest corners of the world, from Moscow, Romania, the Chinese Communist Party individuals. I mean, we have IRS whistleblowers saying they saw it and they were suppressed. I mean, Trump was accused of making a settlement payment. You know, granted, it was not a favorable situation, but unfortunately, in many businesses, that settlement payments occur often. He was accused of overstating his real estate or understating it. I mean, they can't even get it straight, by a prosecutor who ran on getting Trump. I mean, and that's on that, those are recordings, 10, 11 different occasions. They ran on getting Trump, and now they've issued these frivolous lawsuits. There's frankly, look, as a business person, as a United States representative serving the 9th District, as a someone who took an oath of office, I've analyzed both. And Joe Biden and his payoffs to he and his family are very real and very credible. And the frivolous lawsuits against President Trump are frivolous. And what's also interesting here is how they love talking about undermining democracy, right? We hear that a lot. President Trump's going to undermine democracy. Is there anything worse of trying to undermine our Democrat republic than going to the courts with frivolous lawsuits and accusations and trying to bring down a former president who's running for president? And how about taking him off the ballot in Colorado and other attempts? Is there anything more oppressive and anti-Democrat reasonableness than that? And by the way, if President Trump weren't running for office, you think any of these suits would exist? They would not. They would not, because they're nonsense. They're going after him. And you hear the lawyers, you hear the constitutional lawyers on Fox and not MSNBC, but Squawk Box and the other business channels, Fox Business, they say the same thing. I mean, Karl Rove was on the tube this morning talking about it. Karl Rove is no fan of President Trump's, not at all. In fact, just the opposite. And yet he's stating that they're frivolous because he's looking at it objectively. And yet you have the Biden crime family, and I'll say it because like five of them have received payments from China. His brother, his granddaughters, his son, of course. And you want to know something else I want to add? And the media hides it like it doesn't exist. The so-called loans, you know, because Jim Biden and wrote loan and as did Hunter on some monthly payments that he made to the then Vice President Joe Biden, that clearly came from a Chinese account. It's obvious, it's definitive, there's no question about it. But just because they wrote loan on it, that's fraud. You can't do that. You know, I was former revenue secretary for Pennsylvania. We have laws against that in Pennsylvania, and we certainly have IRS federal laws. In order to be classified a loan, Joe, it has to have a promissory note, it has to have a signed agreement, it has to have a minimal interest payment. Because if you didn't have all those mandates, those are mandates by the IRS, and if you file those in a fraudulent manner, that's tax evasion, that's fraud, and it's a penalty of 5 years in prison. And the reason it's so stiff and that exists, because that's the oldest trick in the book, right? I mean, if somebody painted your house and you owed them, you know, $10,000 or $5,000, you'd say, hey, just call it a loan. You won't have to pay tax on it. I mean, you know, it's nonsense.
Nice if you can get away with it, yeah.
Well, he's not going to get away with it. He needs to produce. They call it a loan. Let's see the documentation. If not, you either lied about it or you committed tax fraud. One or the other.
Are you at all concerned about President Trump's comments, for example, that illegal immigration, and they always separate this, the left never separates it, they just say immigration's poisoning our blood.
Right.
But I think President Trump clearly meant illegal immigration. Are you at all troubled by his wording?
Well, look, President Trump has a way about him himself. I know him personally. I will tell you this. I find him to be a remarkably nice, generous, calm. And I know some people will say, oh, come on. No. And even people that worked with him in the Oval Office when he was there say the same thing. They've never seen him lose his cool. I find him have a sense of urgency. I find him to always be focused on America first, patriotic. And look, yeah, he gets up on that stage for an hour and a half, and he goes off script. But he says a lot of things that people might not be saying, but they're thinking. And that's what they like about him. He's genuine. He's honest. He's the same person behind that microphone as he is with no microphone in private. And people get that. And Biden, I mean, come on, he's the furthest thing from that. So when he talks about even the poisoning the blood, I'll tell you why he's absolutely right, because what he's referencing is all the fentanyl and all the drugs killing over 100,000, primarily young Americans, a year. That's what he's talking about. It is coming. It's coming across and poisoning our citizens. That's 10 times the fentanyl coming across is 10 times, 12 times more than it was just 4 years ago. And so that means 10 times more Americans are being affected by it, damaged by it, deteriorated by it, and killed by it.
Well, I don't want to get into trouble with Matt on your staff, because I promised him I'd keep this to, as close to 15 to 20 minutes as I could.
It's okay.
But I want to give you the final. I want to give you the final word, Congressman. Is there anything you want to talk about that I haven't asked you about?
Well, I would just say, first off, you know, Merry Christmas to everyone. Let's enjoy this time of year. You know, my kids are home. Everything's. I'm sure everybody's. I hope anyway. Anybody's got their family together. But here's what I believe is this. I have tremendous faith in our country. We're still the best country on earth. We do need to correct some course. It's within our means to do that. Let's just be as objective as we can, as truthful. Let's get to the truth. Let's try to drop the polarization that exists. And I would say this, particularly among Republicans and independents that believe in the strong free market economy and that America should have a strong position, a leadership position in the world. That doesn't mean oppressive. It means strong, righteous leadership. And I think Republicans and independents need to come together, and certainly as many traditional Democrats as possible, of course. You know, Joe, I have many, and people might be surprised to hear this, many Democrat friends in the U.S. House, and I could name them. I mean, they're good people, but in many cases, they're voting along with their extreme base, and that's the wrong road. That's taking us down the inflationary, weak economy, in different international crises that exist. You know, go green. You know, go green at all costs. No, we'd like to go green over time, but it needs to be done in an economically feasible manner, and we need to utilize American energy and not buy energy from Venezuela, where it's far more of a pollutant than getting natural gas from Pennsylvania, right, where we have all kinds of rules. So my only point is, let's use more common sense. Let's come together. Let's take a breath, and let's get this country on the right track in 24.
Well,
in the meantime, Merry Christmas.
Well, and Merry Christmas to you. I'm sure we can all support those goals. Congressman Dan Muser, thanks so much for being with us. You have an open mic here anytime. It's always fun to talk to you and always great to hear your opinions. Thank you, sir.